I'm Jeff Booth, and this is Sex Science Sunday, here on the Jeff Booth Show, brought to you by the Center for Sexual Expression and Education. So we're going to look at some religious science. Now, some people claim that science and religion don't mix, so we're going to look at a few cases where science and religion are mixed and just see how well the mixture goes. First is a non-scientist Greek Orthodox bishop, Neophytos Masouras. He's of the Church of Cyprus. And he explains something that has been very, very hard to prove. Science has been going back and forth, and there's a big study we'll talk about in a minute or two about what makes people gay. But he has a very definite explanation. It's very simple and clear, and let me quote him. "It is a problem which is usually transmitted by parents to the child. It occurs when the couple has sex while the woman is pregnant, and the sex is unnatural. When the woman enjoys anal sex, a desire is created, which is then transmitted to the unborn child." So it's very, very simple to not have a gay child. All you have to do is not enjoy anal sex. Now, what he doesn't explain is what happens when both parents enjoy anal sex. That probably leads to bisexuality. I don't know. We're going to need to do more research on this. And then there's the case of Jim Baker, a televangelist who has been put in jail for being a fraud and a criminal. But he's out now, and he's been on TV and making lots of money and selling a new product he calls Silver Solution. And this is an amazing product. This is unbelievable. He's selling it to his Christian audience. And Silver Solution, he says, kills every venereal disease that there is. Now, I know you're thinking this is some crackpot thing, but no, it takes it very seriously. If you go to the website that sells it, there's a link that has a Proposition 65 warning. This product contains chemicals known to the state of California to cause cancer and birth defects or other reproductive harm. So, sure, your kids may get cancer, but you, hey, you're going to be venereal disease free. Let me quote Jim Baker. "I always get on the venereal disease because it's really insanity that this product kills every venereal disease that there is, they tell me. I mean, that's the research that has been done on it that I've seen, and the gel does the same thing, and it just takes care of so many things. The only thing it doesn't take care of is a criminal fraudster basically practicing medicine without a license and making entirely ridiculous false claims about a product. Why is this man not in jail again?" You might also want to consider the advice of blogger Bria Badu. She had over 14,000 likes on her post on natural birth control. One of her suggestions is the use of pennyroyal. Well, according to medical professionals, it can cause kidney, liver, and nervous system damage, nausea, stomach pain, high blood pressure, lung failure, brain damage, and vomiting. So even if you do get pregnant, that'll be the least of your problems. She lists a total of 10 different plants that you can use to keep yourself from getting pregnant, assuming that you actually want to get pregnant, because they're not going to do anything to keep you from getting pregnant, which is why you shouldn't take medical advice from random Christian bloggers. Her Twitter account says, "Stay humble and hungry and God will do the rest," which will leave you humble and hungry, and in the case of her advice, pregnant. Since she calls herself the humble hot girl, I have a feeling she doesn't understand what the word humble means. Okay, so much for Christian-based science. Let's talk about some science-based science. Having been involved in the world of swinging and alternative sexuality and worlds of pornography and worlds where women get to kind of express their sexuality without a lot of the same restraints they see in the regular world, one of the things you discover if you get immersed in all that is just how empowering this is for women. And here's another thing. It's a new study. It was done at the University of Arizona by a doctoral candidate named Morgan Johanstebaugh. And the study looked at sexting, or more specific, why do women and men send nude photos of themselves via text messages? They surveyed 1,000 college-age individuals. The average age was 20. This is one of those studies where actually focusing on college students made sense, because those are the people who are going to be texting. Women were 4 times more likely than men to say that they sent nude images in order to hold the interest of a romantic partner or to discourage that partner from looking at nude pictures of other women. Well, I tell you, that's not going to work. And they perceive that as a disempowering, maybe even a desperate motivation for sending sexts. But me personally, there's a big difference between the two. The second one, that's just ridiculous. The idea that you get to see me naked, so you're not going to want to look at anybody else because you saw me on your phone, makes absolutely no sense. I think we need to dig deeper into that to really understand it. And then there's the idea that's different to me, is that they sent the nude images to hold the interest of a romantic partner, and that could be interpreted in a lot of ways as well. I don't know that that's always disempowering. But here's the more important takeaway. And this is from the study author. He said, women might find sexting to be really empowering because you can create a space where you feel safe expressing your sexuality and exploring your body. The fact that women are more likely to feel both empowered and disempowered, that they're selecting both of these options when thinking about the same event, highlights the fact that women have more to gain from a potentially beneficial interaction, but they also have more to lose. But this whole powering and disempowering thing, I think it's a little more complex than the way they're presenting it here, and I really don't understand what he's saying. What you really have to lose is those texts getting out there to other people. That's the real problem. What we really need is encrypted pictures that can only be opened on the phone that you send them to. That would solve that problem. Now, in the study, they found that women often felt pressure to share sexually explicit images via text. But they found that young men may also feel the same pressure. Well, they shouldn't feel that same pressure to send dick pics, because I talked to maybe one woman in my life who liked getting dick pics, and pretty much all the others did not. But of course, a dick pic is different from a nude picture of yourself if you're a guy. Now, this isn't really a groundbreaking study, and they found, rather obviously, that high percentages of men and women said that their motivation was primarily to sexually arouse the recipient. That was the response of 3 out of 4 women and 2 of every 3 men. Now, there are other reasons to send nude images, and I think we have to do a deeper dive into that and look in some detail to really understand the full implications of that. Now, they sort of define empowering with the fact that you can explore your sexuality, but they don't really clarify that part of what people like about this is they like the idea of turning on their partner, and that gets them turned on, and they like the idea of people looking at them in a sexual way, because that's sexually arousing. So for women, being sexually aroused is a form of empowerment. If that's the case, and if we choose to define it like that, what the problem is for me is that using the term disempowering really isn't the opposite of that. It doesn't make you feel less sexy to send out nude pictures. So I think that whole empowerment, disempowerment language is really taking us in the wrong direction. There may be better ways to express what we're really talking about and what's really going on here. One very interesting aspect of this, for me anyway, was that things were very different for queer women. They were less likely to share images to satisfy request or to prevent them from losing interest. And for women who identify as bisexual, gay, or lesbian, the odds that they would be sending the pictures to feel empowered and gain confidence were higher. About this, the study author said, one explanation may be the double sexual standard with straight men and women. I don't know. Another explanation may be that women who do not identify as heterosexual experience more constraints, and they may regain power over their bodies and sexualities through sexting. But I'm going to throw in something additional there. People who have to go through the process of figuring out what their sexual identity is tend to be more in touch with their own sexuality. And when you're more in touch with your own sexuality, being sexual and sharing that sexuality might come a little bit easier. Now, that's not to deny that we live in a very sexist society, a very patriarchal society, where there is a lot of pressure on women. But there is an undercurrent in American thinking that women don't like sex as much as men, that they're not as sexual. And that's not true. My wife's done nude magazine layouts and porn videos, and she found it very empowering and very exciting. And there's nothing wrong with that.